Morning. This is the BOE hearing. Today is Thursday, June 6, 2024. The hearing is for petition E-220-23. The appellant is Shen Nguyen, parcel number 1-2298-301-2211-003. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath.
Appellant, you need to raise your right hand.
Need to verify she can hear us.
Yeah.
Shen, can you hear me?
You're muted right now. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you guys.
I will need you to raise your hand, please.
Okay, she wants you to take the oath. And so would you please raise your right hand and respond to her question?
Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
I so affirm.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair.
Okay, this is a commercial appeal. We usually allow about an hour for these things. For the first 20 minutes, roughly, we'll hear from the appellant on their position, and then we'll switch to hear from the assessor. We'll have some questions back and forth as we go along, and then we will close the hearing and the board will deliberate. Could you help me understand, how do you pronounce your name?
Oh, my name was Chun Mei, one of the old landlord, together with my husband, Wei Qin Sen. So my name was Chun Mei, C-H-U-N-M-E-I. My last name, R-E-N.
Okay. Well, you can go ahead and start your presentation then.
Oh, okay. So when I bought this land was 2016 or 2017, that time, Queensgate has two ways to go inside the property. So after 2020, the city decided only build one way. So make this land stock there, never work, because I was trying to, I put my son there. I want to start to build, to find the tenants. So like in 8 years, I don't find the tenants, I cannot build. So kind of I'm stuck there. So now last year I find you guys, or maybe I was talking to you, your assessor. You use my likes seller, some reference, 100% double the property tax. So I'm not agree with them. Because the likes property to me was the carry, the family, the wife was a Jim. So we are friends. So how much they sell, I understand. They only sell like 300 by acre. Sell to one bigger group, and they like a private agreement. They did not pay that in the price. They only pay the price of the interest of the amount. So the total was a 5 parcel of the property. They sell for like 48 acres total. But I don't know if I did talk to you or someone in the office. He only gave
probably someone in the assessor's office.
Yeah, the assessor only gave me part of the deal. So which the part of deal is shows like 8 million for 16 acre or 12 acres. Because the total deal was like 48 acres. So the assessor proved the false information for reference to base it on
Okay.
my property.
Okay, why don't we ask that question to the assessor to make sure we understand how they're valuing what parcel they're valuing? Mark, can you speak to that?
I can. We're just valuing their lot right there on Queensgate. And we're
But
basing
how
it
many
off.
acres?
Their lot is 2 acres. Yeah, it's 2 acres.
Okay.
It's flat, it's
Is he
open
saying
land.
that's She's saying that's only part of the property.
No, that's all of it.
I mean, yeah, I was talking like the property because you guys base my price for like the property than me.
No, we based it on similar properties right around there, with similar traffic counts. Her property's on Queensgate, right by the new like one property off of Keene, that intersection. Right where that new expansion's going through on Queensgate. She has a they have a traffic count of almost 20,000 cars a day. It's flat 2 acres, ready for development. So, and the sales that we
Okay.
used are off Dupertail, right there by, right there over by Target, which is really close. One on Keene, which is really close. One on Columbia Park Trail, which is like, I want to say it's less than a quarter of a mile away. It's like, so.
Right, that's a little further away than that specific property, but okay.
Well, no, the
All
one on Columbia Park Trail is it's on the corner of Columbia Park Trail and Queensgate. So it's right there.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay, right at that. Yeah, but that's
Yep.
on the other side of the freeway, though, isn't it?
No, it's on the same side.
Same side.
Same side. It's
Yeah.
right there.
They're building a little transit kind of thing there.
Okay. Because that's right near where the wineries are, right?
Yeah, but it's on the other side of the road. It's on the west side. It's by that, you know where
Okay.
that
All
trailer
right.
salesperson
Okay.
is. It's
Okay. Got
there's
it.
maps we can look at in a little bit if you'd like.
Yeah. No, okay. Well, let's go back to the appellant then and
Sure.
okay, so continue.
Okay, because I found my property in 8 years, I put advertising, nobody interest to list to buy me. And also the city decided to build the one way on the Queensgate. From my property. So my property only have one way to access, not both way. So make the price drop down. This is the why I considering why they ask assessor me too expensive. And there was other road was like a main road, people can go both way access.
Right. Okay. Can you guys speak to that real quick? I mean, she's claiming she has one-way access. Doesn't that lower the value of her property?
Well, the reason there's one way access is because Queensgate's so busy they can't have people making left and rights now. So most businesses, all the other businesses right there only have one way access too. You can't just cross over 4 lanes of traffic, 5 lanes of traffic
Right.
to get there. But
So
here's the
you're saying that the other properties you value or you compared hers against are also one-way traffic? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like the one on Columbia Park Trail, it's one way. It's on Queensgate too. Like you can't just cross over Queensgate.
Oh, why
And
don't you
then
go and look at the map?
yeah, you can look at the map. And then
Give them the page number.
the other thing I would say is she has it listed as a lease. She wants to lease that property, have someone lease it to build on it, not sell the property. So there's a difference in value there. If I'm trying to have someone come in and lease it from me, it's going to be less than if they're going to pay less than if they come in and just take ownership of the whole thing. So that's how she has it advertised. So that's a different value.
Okay.
That's a leasehold value.
Okay.
Now,
Okay.
so I was trying to sell, but the assessor, I have a higher assessor to value the price was just 916,000 in the market. So the buyer only pay me this money. I
Yeah,
cannot
but
sell.
that's for look on there. It says lease. Look at that. It says lease fee. That's to lease it. It's not to sell it.
Yes, I was want to sell. I was if some buyer want to pay me, I will sell for that. But the low buyer to buy, So after I want to understand how much value this property, so I pay some company, give me price, how much this this land value. So the company gave me the land value was 916,000. So they asked me, the buyer only want to pay me this money. So I cannot sell because I already pay almost 10 years tax. Plus when I bought there, I was spend like 700,000. So I don't make any money yet. So I cannot sell for this price.
Okay.
Not I don't want to sell. If people can pay me, of course I sell. Because I put my son there, I waiting buyer or listing, either way. But nobody, nobody buy. And even I ask 1 million, nobody pay for this price.
Well, I would say the sign out there says available for lease. That appraisal is for a lease to have a building put on it. It has plans for a building, and it says right on the front it's for a leasehold, which is a different value than a fee simple sale, which is just a purchase. As you can see, it has a site plan set up to put a proposed building for, so that this appraisal is to build and have, is to have someone lease this property to build that building on it. It's not to sell the property outright. As you can see, it says property rights appraised, lease fee. Where if you look at all the sales, they're all fee simple, which means it's just a direct transfer of ownership. Like you no longer have an interest in it. You just sell it. The other party takes it. So there's a different value. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, I know. But I do both. I want to sell or either leasing, but the nobody interest. Even leasing, nobody interest. So I cannot build. I spend a lot of money. I spend like almost 100,000 to 200,000 to find the architecture guy. I want to find the tenants to build, and nobody interested to lease in there. So I also want to sell if someone can buy from me. But the people only pay me. They say they only the value now was 916,000. So nobody pay me more than that. So how can I sell? I spend more money than that. Because if you told my realtor will tell you I can sell.
How much are you asking for the property?
I was asked how one million, but nobody paid me 1 million. So they only pay me like 916, which I already paid for the land. I paid when I bought there was 700,000, and I spent 200,000 for property tax for 7 years or 8 years. Plus I pay for architecture guy. So I already spent almost 1 million. So now assessor, so I hire people because the buyer hire people to do value for the property. The only base the value was 916,000.
So the reason, so once again, I'll go back to this. I've never seen a listing on this as a sale to buy the property. The reason you have an architect come in is because you're trying to lease it for someone to build on it. So you have to design it to build. If you were just selling a piece of property, you don't have to have an architect come in. You just list the property for sale and someone comes and buys it. Like, so the reason you have, and the sign out front is for a lease. So there's just a different, like all the sales are just people buying the dirt. There's no plans with them or anything like that. So this appraisal is for a lease property.
Have you received offers for that property?
Never. That's why never sell. Because my realtor want to sell. My realtor understand I want to sell. I just want out of there because the city when I bought there was like a two way. So I feel like a bigger in future. But after the city changed only one way, so I bought like 3 years. But the city changed one way. So I understand there is low value more because people difficult to get inside. So I want to sell. And I just not put on the sign, but my realtor understand I want to sell. So, but nobody interest there. So nobody contacts my realtor.
Do you have a, hi, this is one of the, on part of the board. Do you have an ad that shows that documents that you just tried to sell it, you were not trying to lease it?
I was at the documents like I want leasing or sale. I built to it. So if people want to listen from me, I will build for them, but nobody want to listen from me. So I was before Lexa to there has one coffee bar, a coffee shop, ESOS. They don't like there. Also the Lexa door, they say was difficult to access. So I want to sell. I also, my realtor low, I want to sell too, but he say was many years, like 8 years, nobody interest.
You have a document that you signed with the realtor with that asking price on it?
Yes, yes.
You have that available for us to look at?
Was I signed that one was last year, but I did ask my realtor because was nobody interesting, so I lost my, I was just so frustration for the up the property tax. I just pay a lot and I don't make money, you know. I was
so the
nervous for that because I'm allowed the assessor buys me 100% value more. I was feel like a sick for this. So I did not talk to my realtor more, but I will ask my realtor today.
Okay. Did you have anything further right now?
We just don't have any evidence that shows it was for sale. The only evidence we have is that it was for lease.
Yeah, my realtor. Even so, because when if some people buy, my realtor will let me loan if some people interest. But in 8 years, nobody interested in buy there. And my Lex door, Lex there now is a big flat from the buyer, Indian guy. They bought the property from my friend that only spent $300,000 one acre, buy 48 acres. So, and they not pay the price. They only pay the interest rate for make a private private deal, not really pay the money in front. Even so, they ask us 300,000 one acre. So how can my property price value that much?
Okay, why don't we hear from the assessor at this point, and then we'll circle back with you if that's okay. Okay.
Through your sales. So what we have is we have a property on Queensgate that's zoned commercial. It's commercial retail. It's located a bunch around other retail. It has direct access from Queensgate. Like you can pull right off of Queensgate northbound right into the lot. It has almost 19,700 cars a day traffic count from a couple years ago. It's level, it has utilities to the site. I tried to find the most similar sales with similar high traffic counts in other retail areas. The sale on Dupertail is it's on.
Well, could we circle back a minute? I'm looking at your page 2 where you have the short plat and it's showing the properties on Kennedy.
Well, that's mislabeled. That's an old plat. That's Queensgate. Yeah, that's an old plat. Kennedy don't run north and south. Kennedy can't even start till like West Richland up that way.
That wasn't prepared by us. That's just the short plat.
That's the short plat. Okay. 95.
It was just mislabeled.
Okay. So let's go back. Yeah, on your page 3 that I'm still trying to see Queensgate, and is that 2 acres where the cars are parked on it?
Yeah, that's the 2 acres where the cars are parked on. And if you look at the other location map above it, you'll see Keene, and then you make a right onto Queensgate, and that's where you'd head towards the freeway to go over the freeway to like Walmart and stuff.
Okay, so we're on the above map, I'm having trouble finding the property. Where is it exactly?
On which map, sir?
The top map on page 2.
Okay, so You see where it's at the bottom of Queensgate, where Queensgate runs into Keene. It's the first, it's the second lot up on the right hand side
Okay.
where
Oh,
Keene and Kit see it. It's the
Queensgate
vacant.
and Keene. Okay, so it's the second lot going up Queensgate off of Keene then.
On the right hand side is that
On the
vacant.
right, oh, I see the green. Okay, hard
Yeah.
to see it, but
Yeah, sorry about that.
okay.
It's
That's
because.
oh, it's okay. All right, so there's not a lot of development in that area. I mean, this is a fairly recent map, is that correct?
Yeah. No,
A
it's so
fairly recent picture.
it's sandwiched between two retail businesses. And across the street is a gas station, and there's a Taco Time there. And to on the other side of Keene, that's where they're putting that new Queensgate expansion because they've already cutting the road, and that's going to be retail on that side too.
But
So
I
on the
mean,
south.
just looking at this, I mean, you can tell that's not where the development is going. I mean, it's going on the other side of the freeway.
Okay. Well, the lot up by the roundabout, the lot to the west side, the lot that's my sale number. Let me see. That's my sale number three that
Okay,
just sold. Yeah.
where's the roundabout on the top map?
Like just north of the property, you'll see Jericho and
Okay,
you'll see Columbia Park
so
Trail.
that okay there, yeah, I see it. Okay.
The property to the upper left-hand side of that roundabout just sold for $22 a square foot. So, and that's on the same side as the subject.
But
But it's closer to the freeway access, okay.
it also sold for $7 a square foot more than what we have it assessed for. So, almost a third more.
Way
Again.
too value corners higher than the middle
Yeah.
lots. The corners are, I mean, that's a 25, 30% adjustment to be on a corner or nearer a corner. So the lot
So
that's
her.
just south of the subject that's on the corner of Keene and Queensgate, that's valued much, much higher than the subject. It's a
Okay,
very significant adjustment for not being on a corner.
so that's not a so that's what you just told me says that that sale isn't comparable then.
Well, once you adjust it, that's the $7 a square foot adjustment downward.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying is, you know, because it's $22 a square foot and we adjusted down $7 a square foot.
You're down to what, $15 a foot then?
Yeah, we're at 15.
We're at 15. And that's, I mean,
Got a question
you know,
for you.
that's a large adjustment for being the corner. We are taking the corner influence into account.
I mean, some of the land sales you've got are pretty far away from her property.
But
I mean,
they have similar traffic counts.
We had to find stuff with similar traffic counts and did stuff that had one-way access too. Like we couldn't just, and you know, there's not a lot of sales available over there.
well, like 924 George Washington Way, how is that a one-way access?
That one isn't. Nope, that's just a recent sale with similar zoning in Richland, but it's also way higher too. But 395 and 7th Avenue, that's one-way access.
Well, yeah, it depends which side we're looking at, but depends if it's on 7th or if it's on 395. But
On 395.
oh, okay, yeah, that would be. Although, isn't there a traffic light at 7th?
There is, yep.
Yes, there is.
Okay. So it's really not one-way access then. Okay. All right.
Can I ask a question, George?
Yeah, go ahead, Peter.
So the appellant mentioned that Ethos had chose to walk on her property offer. Do we know what Ethos paid for the property they purchased? Was that looked at by the appellant, or not by the appellant, but by the assessor?
We were never provided with that offer for Ethos, so we didn't know that that Ethos was even the buyer.
Ethos is very close, and they just finished building a building and had their grand opening here a couple weeks ago. They bought it quite a while ago. It might have been before 22 even. I'm not sure. But Ethos purchased and built, just finished building a...
Is it on a corner, or where is it?
No, it's actually, behind, it's, where, God, what's that? Cozy Cup. It's at the same parking lot where the Cozy Cup is. And I think there's a fast food thing. Those two buildings that are on the road, it's behind them.
Yeah, I know right where that's at. That's one way access.
So it's not even right on the access. It's not actually right on the access of Queensgate. Then you have to exit Queensgate.
Well, it is on Queensgate, and they've got a parking lot already there. I just am curious, was that a lease purchase, or did they just outright buy it?
So I don't know which one.
What did they pay for it?
Yeah, this building's Cozy Cup. So I don't know if that's either. That's Taco Time. Is it by the Taco Time, or?
Yeah, it's behind the Taco Time, and it's behind Cozy Cup.
Peter, have you got the map on page 3, the overhead map? Can you look at that?
You're talking on the assessor's
property
petition?
Yes.
Yeah, the assessor's page 3, the map at the top.
Okay, it says R4, you mean?
No.
No.
Over the bottom right?
No, not R. R is the appendix. Go to their actual package.
Just page 3 from the front of the assessor's package.
No, not the assessor's package.
No, yes. The assessor. Yeah, we want the assessor's package, page
not,
3 from
not
the front.
Their amendment with the R's, just the regular numbering.
I'm sorry. All right, let me try this again. All right.
It's got two overhead photos. The one on the top.
Yeah.
So which is the parcel you're talking about there, Peter?
It's in Queensgate. Here we go. It's
which one?
Oh, it's behind there. So it doesn't.
Is it this triangular lot here?
Yeah, it looks like.
Is that what I was going to ask?
That's lease. That's a lease. They didn't buy the property, Ethos.
Okay. So that's my key question, is that the fact that Ethos. Yeah, okay.
And that lot doesn't sit right on Queensgate or Keene. It's behind other businesses. So
I can show it to you real quick.
Yeah, I was just more curious what they paid for it, if they actually purchased it.
Yeah,
but they didn't. Yeah,
and it's interesting. They said that the subject wouldn't work for them because it has hard access. That's a triangular lot behind other stores. It doesn't have access on. You see, it's right here. Oh, I'm moving all over here.
Yeah,
it's right here. This lot. You can see if I scroll up. That's the building as we saw it when we did new construction last year.
And then there's the subject. Mm-hmm.
And here's the subject. My mouse is jumping around like crazy. Yeah, so here's right the subject. There, yeah. The subject has access right off Queensgate. This right here is the one that you're talking about. It's a small triangular lot, and they have easement access from here off of Keene, or easement access off Queensgate, which I'm not understanding how that's better access than when someone has direct access.
Right.
And the big, nice 2-acre buildable lot. I mean, and you could see right here on the record, there's no sale. Sale date, there's nothing. Sale price, there's nothing. They didn't buy it. It's a little lease.
Okay.
Yeah. And we don't always have those leases, so.
Okay. Anything further?
I would just say, if you look at, we did our best to try to use similar sales with similar traffic counts. And we feel the value is fair there because even though it's on the other side, maybe of Queens, that whole area out there is really, development's pushing that way. So towards West Richland, out Keene, where the new Yokes is, all that's getting built up. So
I think this area, I think this area, nobody can do anything, because anyway, the price is still staying $300,000 by 1 acre. Even my labor, they sell for the bigger empty lot, they sell to the Indian guy, was bigger, is a deal for one deal was 48 acres.
Well, I would say that if you buy 14 acres, you're always going to get a better deal, because the bigger the purchase, you buy in bulk, you get it cheaper. They'll probably split it up and sell it.
But they have a boss way. They are in mineral. Kenny Row is like a mineral. Queensgate is like a private, I don't know how to say, like a cross row. And there is a lot of maybe residential in the Queensgate. And the Kenny Row has a lot of residential, easy to access to their property. So they still sell for less than $300,000 by 1 acre. So
unfortunately, you didn't provide that to us as part of your evidence package, though. You didn't show us any sales.
Oh, I think you know, because it just likes to my property. It was a big empty property. You can say, before you say the map, was nobody can do anything now because of the price up. The buyer just pay for only interest rate, not pay for the money in front. They just signed the private agreement. Yep. Even so, they pay $300,000 by acre.
Yeah, terms of, if it's, we don't know the terms of that sale. If it's a private sale, the terms could be anything. They could be holding the money. There could be concessions. It could be, I don't even know what sale they're talking about, the fellow's talking about.
It would be easier if I knew the parcel number that you're talking about. We could show you the excise affidavit, but I don't know which one you're talking about.
Can you show us on the assessor's map on their page 3 what property you're talking about?
Yeah.
Is it this one?
No, that's one of my comments. That's what they're about.
Yeah. It's one of your comps?
Yeah.
Do you have the excise affidavit on that?
On that comp? No. That one sold for $1.212 million.
Yeah. Let me look.
How big was it?
5793. I'm looking real quick here.
I think it might be that big lot behind it, maybe. That's only 12 acre lot. I see. They're a big lot. That's not it.
This is not it.
No. She's saying it's like 12 acres.
No, yeah, it's not this one. This is a single, and it is only
Penny Row. We are Penny Row.
On Penny Royal? Is that what you're
saying? Yeah. Nigga empty name in Penny Row, cross corner of the cross to the Queensgate. There are a lot of empty property.
Back up. Penny Royal's that way. Down.
They're not developing yet. I don't think we're developing in 10 years.
All the way to
I don't think that.
Penny Royal's like,
wait, people look like their area is value up, but this is not true.
They have development land, and you may be talking, 14 acres is generally, it's hard to say, because development land sells very cheap because they need so much work to have a lot that has utilities and all that. And if you would have a parcel number because of the sale, we might be able to look into it. But there's a lot of deals of undeveloped land that are really don't sell for very much. I know properties that are far from everything that sell for, $1,000 an acre, but the only thing you could do for it is dry land wheat. There's no irrigation and it's 40 miles from town, but without the details of the sale, we honestly want, we're trying to do the right thing, but without any of the details, we can't address that sale for you. I mean, we do honestly try to do what's right. In the presentation that we have the most similar properties that we can find to the subject. And we do have ones that are really close that have sold. But, you know.
That's why.
Nobody, and there are interest-only, there are interest-only sales where they do, they owner finance for a certain number of years. And then when they have a little, because buying land, it's almost impossible to borrow money to buy land. So a lot of people will do like a 5-year owner finance, but you have to figure out the present value of that money that the seller is going to get in the future. And it's complicated, but, you know, without knowing what parcel number it is, you know, it's hard to look into that. But yeah, those residential, I mean, we're taught the subject is commercial lot, and residential development land is just not comparable to residential development land. But.
Yeah, I don't
know. Yeah, so your property, the property you're citing on Kennedy may in fact be for residential development, not for commercial.
Was it commercial and residential together?
Oh, it's mixed commercial and residential.
Yeah, it makes it.
It could be that if it was on Kennedy, that the stuff running Kennedy may be commercial and the stuff not running Kennedy may be residential, but I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a common thing where you have large tracts of development land.
Anyway, commercial property is really difficult. Difficult to develop. Even some commercial property take 10 years, 20 years, you cannot develop it. First, difficult to find a leasing tenants or difficult to sell. So yeah. I was really feel very sick because the tax, I only keep pay, and I don't know where is my in future. And maybe in future 20 years, my this property cannot develop it. So I pay a lot of property tax and I lose all my money for nothing. So it was really difficult. But if in future I build, you can assess me price. That's okay because I make money. I have tenants. But now is empty property. I cannot to do anything.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's based on what the market would value that property at, even though it's vacant property and you're paying tax on property tax on it. But
I have an assessor value was $916,000, so I pay for that. I don't think that they make a mistake because they broken the license. The marketing value was $916,000. It's not that much.
But I looked at some of the sales that they had as were comparable sales, and they're not in the same wrong place.
So maybe
they don't seem to have the same traffic count as what your property has.
My property was just one way access because the city decide to build the one-way access, build a bigger crop in the center of the Queensgate.
Let's see if I can find it. Yeah, so they have some land, you have some land sales here, but they're not at the same traffic count. Like 3601 Plaza Way, that's over by Trios Hospital. That doesn't have that kind of traffic count.
And Belmont, Belmont Volbar is way out the west side of West Richland. That's got hardly any traffic.
Yeah.
So
10,000 block of West Clearwater, that's I don't know exactly how far out that is. It's probably out by the Country Gentleman in that area.
It's past the
traffic count.
It's by the church.
Almost to the freeway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these properties here that that he's using as comparable sales really aren't comparable.
No.
Because they don't have the traffic count. Okay. Well, I think we understand your position. Anything further from the assessor?
No, we're good. Thank you.
Okay. Did you have any last words?
No, since I don't speak in good English also.
Okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Chuck, Peter, any questions?
I'm okay.
Okay. Okay. We're going to go ahead and close the hearing, and you can log off and we'll deliberate and you'll get an answer in the mail within 4 weeks, probably less.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's just, just that stuff up there.
Good morning. This is the BOE hearing. Today is Thursday, June 6th, 2024. This hearing is for petition E-222-23. The appellant is Gap Road Properties, LLC. Parcel number 1-3494-400-0004-000. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath.
You're on the right hand.
To each of you who are testifying today, affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth.
I so affirm.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair.
This is a commercial appeal. We usually allow about an hour for these things. We'd like to hear from the appellant first. Give you maybe up to 20 minutes to make your presentation. Then we'll hear from the assessor. We'll have some questions back and forth along the way. Then we will adjourn and deliberate. So, Mr. Denley, you may proceed.
I have a question. Do I get a chance to comment on the assessor's presentation after my time is over?
Yes. Yes, you can.
Okay. So
why don't we do that after they make their presentation, though?
Sure.
Okay.
I received in September of 2023 the notice changing the valuation of the property, both the land and the improvement value. And while I don't like the improvement value increase, it's appropriate because we added another building, and that is appropriate to increase that value. But I saw the land value increase, and I did not understand why. Nothing had changed regarding the land. It was the same piece of property that's been there for probably 10 years assessed at the value that it was assessed before. And there were no additional utility hookups or anything done to add that new building. So I questioned why the value of the land was increased. And I received back from the assessor's office a justification associated with a comparable sale, kitty corner to it, which is to the northwest. I don't know how familiar you are with that particular intersection, but it is it's the southwest corner of the off ramp at Interstate 82 exit 80, and the comparable sale was to from Gary Christensen to Feast LLC. for a parcel that they ultimately built a Jack in the Box on. That is the only comparable sale that I saw at the time. Another comparable sale, I think, was added after the fact, a McDonald's, site for a McDonald's in Grandview. And I looked at both of those and I thought, I don't see that they're all that comparable. I think from a locale situation, the Jack in the Box sale is comparable, but from an accessibility, ease of accessibility, it is not, because that Jack in the Box is two right turns off of the freeway, and to access our site is through a light and a number of left turns. That Jack in the Box has access directly off of Wine Country Road. I do not. I'm subject to the Department of Transportation's restricted access there. And I just did not feel that that was an appropriate sales comparable. I looked at some of the properties adjacent to mine and the assessed uses for the land on those properties. I looked at the McDonald's and the Burger King, and I sent that information off. It's part of the packet, which I think says it's email number 2. I sent that information off in December, and it showed that the land valuation for the Burger King, which is directly to the east of us, and the McDonald's, which is a little bit northeast of us, they hadn't changed. Since then, they have changed. I think somebody might have taken the initiative there, but at that point, it did not, to me, seem like there was equal assessment being made there. So that's the basis for my petition. I have looked at a number of the properties around this property. And even today, if you look at properties directly across the street, that's the Dential Ford dealership, their land value assessment is much lower than what is being proposed for mine.
Well, comparing assessed value to assessed value is not an appropriate way of valuing property. And that's why we, the board and the state who trains us, says we have to look at sales. Can you tell me a little bit about how your property is being used?
The property that is in question here is a mixed use of retail and residential. There's a Starbucks, there's a Chevron station, there are a variety of stores, H&R Block, Verizon. There's an insurance brokerage, a payroll processing firm. I actually have a vegetable vendor in the ground floor. They're the only tenant in the ground floor of the new building. The new building has 2 floors above the ground floor, which are apartments. Those are fully rented.
Okay. So you own the land and the building, and the tenants are lessees?
That is correct.
Okay. Well, at this point, let's hear from the assessor, then we'll circle back if that's okay. And then you can ask your questions of the assessor.
Okay.
The property is located on the corner of Merlot Drive and Wine Country Road. It has access from Merlot Drive, and there is a driveway on the south end that pulls in off of Wine Country Road. So it looks like it has access from both, from Merlot and Wine Country. It has a high traffic count, has high use for retail. It's very similar. It's bigger, but it's very similar to the Jack in the Box. It's kitty corner, so they're both corner lots on the same roads. There isn't a lot of sales in Prosser, so it was hard to find high traffic sales. So that's why we were only able to use the Jack in the Box one and the McDonald's one, because it's also on Wine Country Road, but in Grandview, but same road.
So can you show me where those properties are relative to this property?
Yeah, so if you go to, let me see.
I'm sharing
this. That's kind of route where the county road cuts off, isn't it?
Yeah, this is where the Jack in the Box is.
Yeah.
And then this
Okay. So
that's the subject right there.
Oh, okay. Good. Yeah. Thank you.
And then the other property is in Grandview, right off of Wine Country Road. Wine Country Road there, where it goes past the subject in the Jack in the Box, it continues all the way to Grandview. So that's where that one is. So
how far is that all the way to Grandview? How many miles?
I have it in here. I think it's 5 miles.
Yeah, because the County Line Road is not too far west of there.
It's 5 miles. Yeah, almost exactly 5 miles. So, and you know, the subject has, you know, the subject with its high traffic count and its access, and that road's only getting busier. And the way the subject's shaped, the use, it just has a lot of value from all the uses, you know, between the Chevron, retail, the Starbucks, you know, and property. And the reason it went up is because property values have went up, and that property had been undervalued. It hadn't been raised in quite a while. So that's why.
Was this your 6 year physical inspection year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And so is it fair to assume that all the properties nearby, the ones, say, to the right of what we're seeing, those properties there, those all went up commensurately in value as well?
They went up in value. I don't know if it's like the McDonald's and the Burger King. They don't have the traffic that this property does because they're just located on Merlot. They still have traffic. They don't have the Wine Country traffic, and they're not on the first light off the freeway. So that makes a difference. But yeah,
we do give a premium. We do give a premium to corner lots, which is reflected in the market. But you know, we reevaluate every year. And then every 6 years, we do a real deep dive. But, you know, we do reevaluate every year. And obviously, Prosser doesn't have a lot of sales. It's a much smaller community. But, you know, we've done our best here to get comparable sales to demonstrate that those corners that have, you know, high traffic uses, you know, that we're being fair with the subject.
Okay. And you told us in the last hearing that you assess a premium for corner lots, and will you tell the appellant what that is?
It changes depending on the area. I mean, if this was a corner lot, you know, in Kennewick or Richland, it would be much, much higher. But it is, I don't know the exact, I could look it up, but I don't know the exact, but it's, you know, the subject, according to this page that I have here, I mean, we have it at $8.31. It's a percentage adjustment, but obviously not a very big one. I mean, it may be, you know, I couldn't even guess. I could look it up and see.
That's all. Okay. All right. That's fine. Okay. And so that's all we're looking at today is just the land sales. And then you have some active listings, apparently.
Yeah, they're right behind the Jack in a Box over there. They have 3 lots listed. So, and they're all listed quite a bit higher than what we have. So,
okay. So
I just throw them on.
Well, those are all 2020.
They're not
forward listings.
Yeah, they're not included in the value. It was just put on to demonstrate that there is, that, you know, there's demand in the area and that, you know, that things are being listed higher. So,
right. Have any of those properties sold at this point?
You know, there was a couple pending. I'm not sure if they still are or not, to be honest with you, because, you know, we can't really use them for the valuation. So it was more just to show that the market is not stale there, like that things are moving forward. So
understand. Okay. All right. Okay, so Mr. Denley had some questions for you guys, so why don't you go ahead and ask his questions?
A couple of questions are, the first question is, you say that I have access off of Wine Country Road. I do not have access off of Wine Country Road. The south end of my property is accessed off of Gap Road, which is a city street. It may look like a driveway leading out to Wine Country Road, but that is a city street. And then my driveway is into Gap Road. I do not have direct access off of Wine Country Road.
Well, it's maybe it's about 100 feet or something of.
I mean, I can share my screen.
You can see the aerial.
I can share my
screen. I'm just pointing out I do not have access. The other property does. I have direct access off of Wine Country Road.
So this is what we're this is what we're talking about. So here's Wine Country Road. And so you're saying this is the name of this road is Gap Road?
That is an active city street, yes.
It looks like it just feeds your property and the other one.
If you want all the history on it, take a look a little bit closer. You see a switch box right there, just to the east of the building. You got to go a little bit north. Keep going. Right there. You see that switch box? It's a fenced in area just to the east of the building. The active city street goes just beyond that.
But can cars, my question, just to verify for the board members, can cars drive on this?
Absolutely.
Okay. And so you have an access here on Merlot and then cars can drive on this road here and get access to your property.
Correct.
Okay.
No, I'm not debating that. I'm just saying that it is not directly on Wine Country Road. It may face Wine Country Road, but we do not have direct access to Wine Country Road. I wish I did, but I do not. The percentage increase, you may not think it's huge, but it's a 61% increase in the value. That's pretty big. I guess the other thing is that the lots that are listed, I'm familiar with those. I'm familiar with the individual who has developed that parcel, and the listing price doesn't necessarily reflect market value as much as it reflects the costs that that individual incurred to actually make that land developable. That land had stuff dumped on it illegally. He told me he then allowed somebody to dump things legally on it, and they didn't compact it properly. He had to remove all of that and bring in fill and properly compact it before he could sell that land to Jack in the Box or anybody else. That's the reason why those prices are so high. So that's in the for what it's worth column.
We didn't factor those into your value, the actives. We just factored the sold.
Sales.
Yeah, sales. We didn't use the actives as far as value.
Sometimes we put things in just to show market expectation but we didn't use it in the value. But we have the comps that we have, and it's always been a problem because there's not a lot of sales in Prosser that you know, sometimes things jump more than is typical. But that's unfortunately because, you know, we don't have a consistent, you know, flow of sales like we do in other areas.
And then I have a question for the opponent. So on that Gap Road, can you drive straight through on that Gap Road behind your property? Because it looks like you can't drive through.
I wanted to reopen Gap Road so that you could drive straight through. To do that, I needed the cooperation of Burger King and the other two lots to the east of our property. Burger King refused to cooperate, so you cannot drive straight through. I would have loved to do that. That would have made a big difference.
I guess what I'm saying is, so basically that interest rate off of Wine Country feeds your property.
Yeah, we don't need to.
Okay. Yeah. And then, so yeah, like I said, we try to be fair. It was a big jump, but the market really shot up over the last few years. So, and we hadn't valued it up much in a while. So
could you explain your 6-year process to the appellant?
Well, we have to value all 86,000 properties every single year. And to do that, we do a sales ratio study every year to see how our values are comparing with the sales. But we do a really deep dive, like I mentioned before, one out of every 6 years. And then we do research in other areas that are kind of similar. And So really, one year out of the 6 years, we do very a lot more significant research, and that's why, you know, this jumped a little more than what was, you know, typical. And
yeah, in the past we've seen this problem with in residential areas too, that all of a sudden it would just kind of bump along about the same, and then on the 6 year it would take a big jump. Yeah. But the assessor currently is trying to do an annual revaluation, and so people, residential people, aren't seeing the big 6 year jump anymore. They tend to go up on a more gradual basis.
And you know, when you have a good number of sales, it's easier. But when you have a long dry spell without any sales, you know, it takes more significant research to really show what direction we need to go with the values. And so once every 6 years, we have more time budgeted to do that. And with residential, because there are more sales, typically, you know, that's a little bit easier to do. But in commercial, it's more difficult. You know, we're looking at similar properties in other small communities along the I-82 corridor, which that research, because it takes so long, it's expensive to do. So we just can't do that every year. I mean, you know, on one end of the spectrum, we could do individual appraisals every single year, but it, you know, that's obviously outside of our budgetary constraints. So, you know, we have to do what we can do to get the job done for the amount that we have budgeted.
May I comment?
Yes.
I appreciate you gentlemen just trying to do your job. I don't begrudge you that at all. I submit that these two comparable sales are outliers, though, for the reasons that, you know, the first one, for the reasons that I outlined, you haven't seen any other activity on there. The second one, the sale of the parcel to McDonald's, if you take a look at the dates of those sales, those both took place, especially the McDonald's one, in the teeth of COVID. And that McDonald's sale was land sold to McDonald's real estate company. It's still owned by McDonald's real estate company. They buy the land, they develop the building, and then they have a franchise agreement with a licensee who comes in and operates it. They never release title to their property, and they often overpay. I talked to a woman who used to buy for McDonald's. She said that sometimes they end up overpaying in these situations, but they know they have a return because they have a licensee who's standing in the wings to take over the operation of that business once it's developed for them. So I would submit to you that it's not necessarily an arm's length sale. And that's really all I have to say.
And I believe that's probably typical of, you know, most of those fast food enterprises that, you know, they're leased to franchisees. Okay, assessors, anything further?
We're good, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Denley, anything further?
No, thank you for taking the time to hear my petition.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very Marisol, much.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, we're just saying thank you.
Okay. Okay, Chuck, Peter, any questions?
You know, if I asked a question, I don't know if I can ask this or not, but assessors, after you've heard Mr. Demley's concern with the road not going through and the McDonald's, is there any logic in your mind why you might reduce the valuation?
No. When McDonald's bought it, it was from another party. It was a legit sale. What they plan to do with it in the future, you know, sometimes they buy land and they don't end up leasing it and they sell it. Or
McDonald's has really, I've been valuing McDonald's properties for a long time, the McDonald's in Cleveland, the McDonald's in Ellensburg, and obviously the McDonald's is here. I've had a lot of dealings with McDonald's corporate. They have a lot of strict rules about where they buy. It's high traffic counts, corners, and high traffic counts. That's all they want. It is what it is, and certainly if there were more sales out there, we would have researched them. But in the end, we took the best information that we had and made the decision. I don't think they're both outliers. You know, is that other one? Well, that judgment call is up to the members of the board. Corner lots and real high traffic lots sell at a premium.
And as far as the gap road thing, the access, I would think it's more of a technicality just because it might technically be gap road, but you can see from the aerial, it pulls into his property. So I didn't even know it was a road. So I don't know how anyone else would unless they know the area. So
the utility does.
Yeah, functional utility is similar to a driveway or an entrance.
Except being gap road means that he doesn't have to maintain that. From my understanding, if it's a city street, the city would maintain
right.
it.
Yeah.
So it's
right.
actually, in some ways, it has the utility of direct access without the cost of having to service the paving surface every so okay. many years.
Yeah. Okay. That's all.
Anything further, Peter?
Okay, I have a question along Peter's sure, line that I'm not sure whether I'm allowed to ask or not. So I'm going to ask it anyway. You guys, the assessors there, you guys said that area was a long time since it's been revalued, the 6-year cycle thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I'm going to assume that the increase that Mr. DeLay saw, it would also be applied to, let's say, the properties he lists that are right next to him?
Not necessarily.
Okay, so explain that to me.
Different properties different properties increase differently. That's why we go off sales and not compare assessed values, because corner lots might have a premium. Certain lots in certain areas go up faster. You know, because there's less corner lots every day.
Everyone okay, his neighbors are right next to him.
Yeah.
So if he went up, what was it, 61%, maybe these guys went up 50% or some other number, but they should have gone up based on this same timing thing that right. you're trying to explain to him or to us.
We're not allowed to compare assessed values to assessed values.
I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just saying, is it fair and logical to assume that theirs went up too because it's in the same evaluation cycle as his and they're right next door?
Yes, we have discussed that the corner lots are kind of a little bit of a different animal because they have the influence of the traffic from both streets. If you'd like, we could do a study on how much they all increased. And I understand where you're coming from and, you know, your sense of fairness, and we want to be fair too, but we have to see what the market does and react to that instead of.
But in this case, there isn't much market to react
yes,
to.
True. But we do look outside of Prosser to see what things are doing. And, you know, without, you know, bringing to the table a voluminous study, what is Sunnyside doing? What's Grandview doing? What is Benton City doing? You know, and we do those studies, and that's why it's so expensive to do, because we look at all the little cities or, you know, the close little cities and you know, how are things working there? But it is, you know, corners do have a significant adjustment. I, you know, from the earlier one, I said, whatever, you know, 25-30% adjustment on a corner, because that's what we see the market doing. So I mean,
I'm not asking about corners. I'm not asking about corners or specific things. I'm asking about your 6-year revaluation cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, if he got caught in the 6-year reevaluation, his neighbors ought to got caught in that too, maybe at a different rate or who knows what. But I guess I'm trying to not, sir, not trying to make you feel lonely in this problem.
Oh, yeah, I think he spoke to that earlier.
Go ahead, George.
I think the appellant spoke to that earlier when he said some of the evaluations he had in his appeal package had actually gone up after that. After that
2022,
date.
He had. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll leave it alone.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Marisol, let's close the hearing and we will deliberate.